At Mile High Church, we call our denomination many things, and one of the things we call it is New Thought. And I think of all the things that we call ourselves, Science of Mind, Spiritual Living, Religious Science, New Thought might be the hardest to really describe what it is and where it comes from. And so I want to share with you today what I like to call the three pillars of New Thought. And the first pillar I call the healing pillar. And this is really where New Thought starts as a religious movement. And just as a quick aside, New Thought could be seen as a woman's movement. It could be seen as an American movement of arts and literature. But it's also a religious movement that starts in the middle of the 19th century, where a lot of American religious movements get started. Think about the Pentecostal movement. Think about our Mormon brothers and sisters. Think about Transcendentalism, which I'll talk about a little later as well, which still impacts the culture and the American mind today. And these religious movements are all very different, and yet they all have something in common in their mystical nature. They all see the individual as something sacred and spiritual that can touch and connect with God. And in the mid-1800s, Phineas Quimby is a mesmerist in the New England area. Mesmerism, to be mesmerized, is an early form of what would be called hypnotism. And this is the science or the exploration that we have a subconscious mind that suggestions can be made to that have an impact on our conscious mind, on our bodies, and our lives. To put it in other words, there's this mind-body connection. And Quimby is interested in that. And at the time, many people might think it ridiculous that there's such thing as a mind-body connection. But when you read medical journals or see information today, we see the relationship, for example, of just stress to physical health. So a relationship has clearly been proven. And yet, you know, that doesn't mean for you that if you say a prayer, you're going to heal your disease necessarily, although I would argue it can absolutely have a positive impact. And so Quimby is one of the first to take this idea of influencing our subjective mind and to combine it with the Christian belief of faith healing. And so if you could remember the spiritual truth, if you could have a faith that God is healing you, then you could experience a real physical healing. And one of Quimby's students was a woman who would become Mary Baker Eddy and founded the Christian Science Church. And I would include Christian Science and New Thought. Many would not, but for me, they come out of the same movement. And Mary Baker Eddy, who saw herself a little bit more as a messianic figure. For a long time, she would deny even knowing Quimby, even though she experienced real healing in her work with him. She would start this Christian Science movement, and today we don't see Christian Science as a growing religious movement, but at that time, many people saw it as overtaking perhaps even regular Christianity in America. Mark Twain famously railed against not the Christian Science philosophy, but against Mary Baker Eddy, because she was so rigid. She was so about herself in so many ways, and people who challenged her you know, they felt how powerful she was. And it's important to recognize as well how much she, as the first female founder of religion, the impact that she had on women's rights and women's thinking. And so she was really a powerful and revolutionary figure. But not all the students of Quimby followed Mary Baker Eddy. One of them, named Warren Felt Evans, is more responsible for what I'll call bringing forth the philosophical thread of New Thought. And what he did is he began to take the philosophy of Ralph Waldo Emerson and combined it with Quimby's teachings. And this, in short, leads to Unity School of Christianity, Divine Science, Religious Science, which is a part of what Mile High Church is about. Ralph Waldo Emerson was probably, up to that time, the most influential American who wasn't a politician. He, in so many ways, was an articulator of what would become the American mind. this idea of self-reliance, this idea of the divine in nature, this idea of this genius of a universal mind that we all participate in and bring forth through the power and the greatness of our individuality. And you could build all sorts of threads from Emerson, a poetic thread that includes Walt Whitman and Emily Dickinson, an educational thread that includes the Alcotts and other people that help shape education in our country, a political thread that includes Henry David Thoreau, whose civil disobedience influenced Gandhi and King and others. So much goes back to Emerson, who was just a powerful individual, lecturer and writer, and yet in the late 1800s, it would not be uncommon, especially in the New England area, that next to someone's bedside would be the Holy Bible and Emerson's essays. He was that important to the shaping and articulation of America itself, but as well as the American spirit, American spirituality. And so this philosophical thread is an important part of New Thought. Lastly, the third pillar of New Thought, I would call the interfaith pillar. This is the idea of what we call the golden thread. And so although so much of New Thought is based in Christianity, in Quimby's Christianity, we over time have wanted to find the golden thread of similar teachings in all faiths. And in the early 1890s, there was the Chicago World's Fair. And this was also where the first Parliament of World Religions was held. And so we might say for the first time, many Americans or people in the Illinois area, they got to see a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu. And you could probably imagine Americans not knowing a lot about these religions. It became very interesting to them, very exotic. Maybe there are spiritual truths unknown to us that we could start integrating into our lives. Or even more, what if there are similar truths in all these faiths that can help us build a super faith, something that brings all of humanity together? And it is at this time as well that the New Age movement really begins to take hold. The leader of this, we might say, was Helena Blavatsky, Madame Blavatsky, as she was known. And what she did is she began to combine the spiritualism that was popular at the time, psychism, mediumship, and she began to combine it with, not to be disrespectful, but kind of tokenistic aspects of world philosophy, of Buddhism and Hinduism. And she began to bring all of those together into her theosophy, which still exists today. But what was beautiful about it was this idea that we could integrate many different spiritual faiths. So although we have lots of mediums and psychics and people interested in that kind of thing in our New Thought teaching, what the pillar is for us is it's more about taking this healing thread, this philosophical thread, and combining it with this interest in other faith teachings to find the mystical truths that express themselves in all religions. So I invite you today to think about which of those pillars you might most identify with. Do you identify with this idea of healing through the power of your faith and of your mind? Not just your body, but your relationships, your finances, and your way of being? Do you resonate with this philosophical thread of individual self-reliance and responsibility, of the beauty and the sacred in nature, and of our relationship with a mind that is greater than we are and yet connects all of us? And do you identify with this interfaith thread that says you don't have to be of one faith to have spiritual realization, but that you can connect and strengthen your faith through exploring all the different spiritual languages of the incredible individuals that the divine has spoken through? Perhaps some have mistaken or misinterpreted the divine message, but it's available in all of our hearts. That, in short, is what New Thought is to me.
Right now, in the presence of this room, I feel the presence of spirit. It is there as the sounds in the background. That's one of the voices of spirit. It is here as this chair that I am seated upon, one of the hands of spirit. A reminder that I am always nestled within the palm of the hand of Spirit, divinely guided and protected. And there is that barely perceptible movement of the air against my skin, a reminder that I am immersed in that field of pure potentiality. And so knowing that Spirit is all around each one of us, no matter where we are, knowing that every face we see, every situation we find ourselves in, is an aspect of Spirit. I know that each one of us, myself and everyone listening to this prayer, is one individualized, magnificent expression of Spirit. That everything that is true of Spirit is channeling right through the center of each and every being. So we can rely upon this. There is infinite wisdom, intelligence, love, joy, prosperity, abundance, health. This is what is at the center of each and every one of us. And so knowing this complete and total unity, I now declare my truth for myself and for each and every person listening to this prayer. And what I know to be true is that we may be feeling that we're facing a new world, new challenges, and at times it can appear to be frightening and scary. But what I know to be true is that there is a spiritual big picture behind everything that is unfolding, and that Spirit is there, again, each of us, divinely guided and protected, nestled in the palm of the hand of Spirit. And from this, I know that each and every one of us has the courage and the perseverance to continue, knowing that we are divinely guided, divinely protected, divinely led, and that the spiritual big picture that is unfolding is for good for all people in all places. And for all of this, I am truly, truly grateful. I am so thankful that this manifestation is right here, right now, in invisible form. And I offer my thanks and my gratitude to Spirit. And now, absolutely knowing and trusting that because the spiritual work is done, because these words are spoken and these thoughts are thought, I can release all of this into the law, knowing that it is here, it is now, it is complete, and so it is.